2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso. We now join part two of today's Godcast, already in progress.
Okay, so you want to lose weight. So you figure, okay, I have a big event coming up. I want to lose weight. I got to fit into this beautiful dress that I want. I'm not going to eat for now 3 weeks. I'm just going to have like a spoonful of peanut butter and maybe, you know,
a yogurt,
and that's it. I'm not eating.
Well, the problem with that is our body works off of perception. And perception, it's simple. It's a simple tool, and we are wired that simply. So an example is, if we don't have enough food to sustain life and everything that our bodies require to have that function take place, there's a requirement, an inherent requirement, a baseline requirement that has to be there. So when we take our caloric intake down so low, our body's mode of operation goes, all right, the only thing I need to do is exist. Existence is key. Living is key.
Is it the body talking?
It's the body talking. The body doesn't care what it sees in the mirror, what you see in the mirror, or how that dress is going to fit. Your body just knows, you're trying to kill me, so I got to keep you alive. And a perfect example is that of people who get type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
Your body does what you tell it to do. Mm-hmm. So if you keep eating sugary processed carbohydrates over and over and over, you jack your blood sugar up, your pancreas excretes insulin to drive it back down, and this process is happening over and over. Eventually, your insulin sensitivity is decreased, and now that conversion of glucose in your liver to fat becomes greater. Instead of storing it to use for energy, now you start to gain more weight. Well, more weight means more insulin resistance. So a person will go, wow, I look at carbs and I blow up. Well, you created it. All of a sudden, you get your blood sugar tested. Whoops, you're a diabetic. Your body didn't care that you now have a disease. You now have an illness. It just did what you told it to do. Mm-hmm. You just told it to do the wrong thing, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So by starving ourselves, all we're doing is telling our body is bad stuff's happening, and our body shuts down. It just goes into a pure conservation mode. So just like drinking water and being hydrated, if you asked 100 people on the street, drinking water, how does that help you lose weight? Most people think it like flushes the fat out of your body, like some miracle way
it
dilutes.
Fat.
Yeah, dilutes,
yes.
The fat. When the reality of it is, being hydrated controls your thyroid output. Your thyroid is controlling your body temperature, one of its functions. If your body temperature is low, no calories are being burned. Calories are units of heat. Heat won't be generated because heat evaporates water. So your body knows, once again, perception. If dehydration is being perceived, your body will lower your thyroid output, your temperature will lower, and you'll burn less calories. So people say, well, yeah, I don't really do good with water, but yet they're trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Well, you're never going to lose weight without drinking water. You're never going to lose weight without eating food either. So mm-hmm. Weight Watchers does this. People work and live off of points, mm-hmm. which are calorie driven. So you got a wedding to go to. So they say, well, I'm going to save my points for the whole day, and then that way I can eat at the wedding. When the reality is, you're telling your body, I'm not going to feed you for 6 to 8 hours, but when I do, look out, man. I'm going to give you alcohol. I'm going to give you chocolate cake. I'm going to give you all the desserts and everything else. And then you go on Sunday, oh my gosh, I gained 3 pounds or 4 pounds. First of all, it's water related. You can't get fat in one day. But what you really did is you'll get fat 7 to 10 days from now from what you did, because that's how the body works, because you told your body, once again, perception, I'm not feeding you. So when you finally do feed it, it goes, thank you. I'm going to make sure I hang on to some of this because you're probably going to pull this again.
I love how the body thinks for itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it sounds amazingly like Pat.
Yeah. This is where the knowledge comes in to say, oh, this is how my body works. Instead of fighting it, let me understand how it works. I tell people they don't have to have the knowledge I have, but you need to have more. Mm-hmm. And there has to be some fundamental level of knowledge to understand why you're making the decisions you're making, and now they make sense to you.
Right.
You're not doing it because somebody told you. You're doing it because this is how you're wired and how our bodies work. Mm-hmm. So once you know that, that's what makes things more easy to have, you know, be more rational about your decision making, because it's not like, well, I read it in a book or saw it on the internet.
Sure, right.
Most people I'm helping now can go on the internet and look at anything they want and find out every bit of information, but yet there's less success. So then the information isn't what's helpful.
Right.
You need correct information that you
can
apply.
That's right.
So I have some very knowledgeable people that I'm helping, but yet the knowledge that they try to seek out has actually made it worse for them.
Oh, so my goodness.
That's not uncommon either. So,
sure.
You know, you can't get to one place taking 10 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I see that's a problem with people, too, where they go ahead and it's like, okay, I'm going to go on this plan. But then they adjust it and they add something else in. And one of their friends is doing this and they add a little bit of that. And they try to make a blend. It never works.
Mm-hmm.
It will never work. And a lot of it is because none of the pieces really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work. They're all over. They're scattered.
Right.
So you need to follow one way.
Right.
But women inherently will do things that are contradictory to what works in this sense. I've had women that are having great success. They're doing awesome. And they're like, okay, if I'm doing X amount of cardio and I'm eating X amount of carbs, I'll lower my carbs a little more and do a little more cardio. That's gotta work better. What ends up happening is it shuts off,
mm-hmm.
and they see no result because now they've stepped over that line. There's too much demand, not enough fuel, and they shut their body off. And I've watched this happen, but that's just inherent to our nature, what
mm-hmm.
we do.
Yep.
Those are the things. We're like, okay, this is working. I'll take it the next step. But you're already on that fine line of creating a deficit in your body. Once again, it's perception. At 24 hours of the clock, your body's going, okay, you just burned 800 calories in that class you just did. You're eating 1,300 for the day. So for the other 23 hours of the day, you're supposed to get by on 500 calories. Good luck with that. That's not happening. That's not going to work. So we wonder why we don't see results. We're usually our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about, I know because I've done this, okay, I'm not going to, and I know I'm kind of repeating this, but I just want to see if there's somebody out there who's having the same thought. But I do this, so here's the scenario. I'm not going to eat breakfast in the morning. I'm going to do my workout first. I'm going to work out, burn those calories from the night before, and then I'll eat something after I've worked out, maybe at around noon or 2 o'clock. So I'm not going to eat. My last meal was before I went to bed. And I feel guilty about that meal. Shouldn't have ate so much. So I'm just not going to eat until the next afternoon.
Once again, you're telling your body to shut off.
Okay.
Now, when we wake up in the morning, our blood sugar is at its lowest, right? So when we get blood work done, they do your fasting blood sugar first thing in the morning, because that's when it's going to be its lowest. The problem that ends up happening is if you now exercise, your blood sugar is at its lowest. It's not been stabilized. Our body somehow needs fuel. There's not enough glucose, which comes from our carbohydrates, present. There's some in our liver as a reserve, but that's depleted very quickly. Our body will then start to break down lean tissue and convert that into glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our own muscle starts to become fuel. Our body will catabolize itself. An example of this is long-distance runners. They look like they need a sandwich.
Yes.
Because they're asking their body to perform for such an extended period of time that there's not enough fuel that could be put in to sustain it. So the body becomes whittled down. If you look at their physique, they're not that tight and firm.
No.
They kind of flap around,
yes,
jiggly and move around, even though they're a skinny person. They're mm-hmm. thin, they're streamlined. If you look at a sprinter, sprinters have phenomenal physiques, men and women both. And they're muscular. They have the butt and legs that most women would kill for. They have a different level of physique. They're lean, and yet they still maintain their muscle. Part of the reason is they're going for a short distance at full tilt and then stop. When you're going and doing your cardio and you're running and you're doing something for a long period of time and you have no fuel to sustain it, your body's going to use itself up. And now the big picture and the downfall that that creates is you now have less of you. Your furnace has become smaller. So every pound of lean muscle burns approximately 350 calories a week. So now if you, over time, let's say, and it's very easy to do, let's say in a month, you're like, right on, I lost 5 pounds. I'm doing awesome. But if that 5 pounds came from muscle, that's 1,750 calories a week you can't burn. That means you would need to decrease your caloric intake by 250 a day to stay the same. So now this is where this is how we paint ourselves into a corner calorically, because we've used up our furnace. So if we need to maintain our lean muscle, and this is important for women. Men, we have more. So yeah, men can lose weight faster than women because there's more of us to utilize food, even sitting still.
More muscle.
There's more muscle. So there's, because we can calorically be more efficient, it's easier. Women have a harder time. There's less of you. The last thing you want to do is destroy any of that tissue. So anybody, once again, I hate to beat up on Weight Watchers, but because it's caloric driven, at some point, anybody who's done Weight Watchers, they're doing great, and their points get reduced further. And a person's like, why? I'm doing great. Why would you take more food away? Well, they know out of the 20 pounds you lost, 5 of it was from lean muscle. If they didn't create more of a reduction, you'd stop losing. Well, at some point, you're standing in a corner looking at your plate of food going, there's not enough here. I can't live on this little scrap. So as soon as you start to eat the same amount of food you used to, you gain weight extremely quickly. Because now there's not enough of you to use that food.
To burn it.
So the whole goal is to maintain your furnace. So whether you're a man, a woman, a bodybuilder like myself, a housewife who's not, has no aspirations of being an athlete, I have a woman that's 84 years old. It doesn't matter to Anita that she's going to not never get on stage and be an athlete, but it matters that she keeps her lean muscle because that's what's going to metabolically keep her sound and healthy. So that physiology and that common denominator is in all of us. That we need to not neglect. And I have to say, my education through sports nutrition is what's allowed me to help more people than my standard education in nutrition. It's totally different because as athletes, we eat at a higher level for performance. Well, you couldn't have a higher level of performance running on pump gas that we would put in a regular automobile. In race cars, they have race fuel. So we perform and get the body to do things the average person can't do. It's because of our fuel, not because we're inherently better. Our fuel is much better. But that comes down to function. So my diabetics I work with all do well. I have one athlete right now, it's a type 1 diabetic. He's getting ready for a bodybuilding show. His body fat's 3.5%. Even having to use insulin 6 times a day with all his meals. I reduced the amount of insulin he needs because of the type of food. Yet he's still an athlete, even though technically he's broken. We could still have success. And my other diabetics, who are type 2 diabetics, which was done because of their poor eating or lack of exercise, can be fixed as well and do fantastic. And people always ask, how did you manage that for that person? Did you do something special? And I said, no, they eat like me. And they're like, well, you don't have diabetes. And I say, exactly. Because that's the right way to eat. And it all comes back to inflammatory foods. All the things that we're doing, that's where all illness starts, is with inflammation. So if you're controlling those inflammatory foods, you're not getting those disruptions in our body that cause fatigue, that we all feel at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We want to put our head down.
Take a nap.
Exactly. Or we eat that bad food, and we that same response happens. That's because you're in a hypoglycemic event, and now what you're really, the fatigue you feel is from inflammation within your cells. You weren't out digging a ditch. You weren't doing anything physical. You could have been sitting at your desk in front of a computer, and you just want to put your head down and sleep, and you have to say, why am I tired? You're tired because you're inflamed. And if you do that mid-morning, mid-afternoon, and then again after dinner, you'll never make it to the gym because you're going to say, well, I don't have time to get to the gym. Yeah, you did. You were just sleeping on the couch because you were blacked out from what you did all day. You had the time. You were just asleep.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, reducing that inflammation matters and to our health overall.
Okay, one more scenario. This is the bane of many men on long road trips. Why is it that so many women have trouble holding their water? Like, honey, stop at the restaurant, stop. But we just stopped less than an hour ago. Hold it, hold it. You can hold it. No, my God. Or you hear, I don't drink water because then I'd pee all day.
Water is a necessity of life. Yes. Roughly 65% of our lean body mass, which are our bone, water, organs, and tissue, is water. There'd be no life without water. You know, we can go weeks, a month without food, but it's a matter of days without water and we're dead. Mm-hmm. Once again, like I said about water and our thyroid, it impacts our bodies and regulates our temperature. So when a person starts to drink water, I mean, it's a pretty easy way to gauge how much we should drink. Everybody wonders how much. It's half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should have 100 ounces of water a day, divided up over the day. I usually suggest to people that if you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, you start to curtail your water intake, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 mm-hmm. o'clock, start cutting it back. Otherwise, you will be up during the night going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing. In the beginning, a person would go frequently because their body's perception is, oh, all this water's coming in, I could actually let go.
Ah.
So it's just saying, it's just doing what you told it to do. Mm-hmm. Water in, water goes out. Because now it knows water's coming, there's no reason to hold water. So where most women freak out, they get a little bloated, they'll stop drinking. Mm-hmm. Because they think if they stop drinking, that will be better. If they drank more, they'd push more water out. It would actually work in their favor.
You can almost tell when you're dehydrated, I have trouble clenching my fists. It almost feels like, oh, my hands are swollen.
Right, because water plays a role in the cell for muscle contraction. It's necessary to allow that to happen. It's also carrying sodium, which is a necessity. You can't have muscle contraction without sodium mm-hmm. either. So people get scared of salt. If you have high blood pressure, yeah, you should limit your sodium intake to some degree. But if you're drinking adequate amount of water, sodium is our friend. It's not our enemy. Mm-hmm. If we don't drink water, then yeah, we go out and have Chinese food and our feet and our hands are swollen mm-hmm. because of the amount of sodium that's in there. But if you drank a lot of water, mm-hmm. you would not retain the same amount. Eventually, from drinking more water, you don't go to the bathroom as much. It starts to curtail. Mm-hmm. Your body finds homeostasis in that new balance where you were with less. You just, body behaves the same way with more. Mm-hmm. You're just in a better state. It's just like everybody's weight bounces around up and down a few pounds. The goal is, can you get it to bounce around a couple pounds in a good place? Mm-hmm. Right. And that's all my wife and I do. Our weight moves up and down a few pounds, but it's just in a good place. That's right. Healthy. Everybody's weight moves around, but for most people, it's not in a good place.
But drinking the right amount of water and eating the right amount of food will actually help you
stay hydrated,
but you won't go to the bathroom as much either because the water now what? Doesn't the water now...
saying that the water stays inside the cell as
right.
opposed to
correct. There's
it.
Intracellular water is what we want.
Okay.
That's the water that's in the cell mm-hmm. that keeps the cell hydrated, that maintains health. Extracellular is that Chinese food and our rings are tight and our feet are swollen. Mm-hmm. That's water outside of the cell, subcutaneous, and that's what we don't want. That's
right.
not good. So, yeah, we want to have enough water to come in, but we want to have foods that will now support the water in the cell. So good carbohydrates, low glycemic carbohydrates like oatmeal, like brown rice, like yams, those are the type that water can bind to, but now you're not bloated. You're just more hydrated. There's a fear, like people think, like they're going to get bloated because they eat those foods. They're necessary for hydration. If you eat just vegetables, and that's all you eat, vegetables are water, water and fiber. There's no real binding effect going on. So people who go on no-carb diets, like Atkins, they restrict their carbohydrate intake from complex carbs, they have a big water loss. Well, that water loss is only due to there's no ability for the water to attach to food. There's no binding in the cell. So a person will achieve loss, but it's not fat loss, water loss. And that water loss, as soon as they put some foods back or hydrate, the scale goes back up. Well, and your clothes size didn't change either.
There you go. That's a biggie.
It's the same size.
Right.
Yeah.
for someone listening to for the first time, Pat, who really wants to do the right thing by their body, they want to do the right thing, they want to be obedient to the Lord in taking care of their body, and they don't live anywhere near Jersey, maybe they live in California or even outside of the country, what's something that you can tell them as a takeaway to kind of lead them on the right road toward a better lifestyle with their health? Is there something you could leave them with that would help them?
The most important thing that we should be watching is controlling our blood sugar. I mean, at the end of the day, if we control our blood sugar, we're truly controlling majority of the functions in our body. So that's why inflammatory type foods, which are processed, you know, high sugar foods, refined types of carbohydrates, cause inflammation. There's no way you're going to get your body to feel good, look good, and achieve any goals by putting those foods in. So people should educate themselves and look at, okay, what are the better type of carbohydrates? Don't be in fear of them, because there's good ones. I eat them all day long. It's just the right kind and the right amount. So educate yourself in the sense of, I can do that. There's a great book called The Glucose Revolution. That book really talks about controlling your blood sugar. And people ask me, like, what's a good book you could recommend to read? To me, that would probably be one of the best ones, because it really states clearly about understanding and controlling your blood sugar and all the benefits that come from that. So I would think from that would be a big key. The next one is water. Make sure that you're taking half amount of your body weight in ounces of water daily, and to be diligent about doing that. Six meals a day need to happen. There's no way you can get by on eating 3 to 4 times a day. That's just not going to work. So the meals could be as simple as almonds and a Granny Smith apple between your breakfast and your lunch.
Right.
You know, so mid-afternoon could be a Greek yogurt. You know, it could be simple things. And the whole thing, too, don't get scared about eating before bedtime. You know, so we all eat before we go to bed, usually an hour before, but it's the right kind of food that enables healing that occurs while you sleep. Contrary to what most people think, you can eat before bed. I've been doing it for the better part of my life, so have all my clients, my wife, and they all have wonderful success, because the reality is you're sticking something in your mouth at night, more than likely, and it's usually bad. It might as well be good.
Right.
Listeners who are interested in getting in touch with Pat Greco for yourself, you can go to exiletraining.com. So that's E-X-I-L-E training.com. There's a link for it right on our website at historywithgod.org. As well as your phone number's on there and all your contact information, your email, all that good stuff. And, hey, wait a second.
What?
You know, Pat's saying all this great stuff about nutrition and health and fit, and I look over and there's a box of Oreos on his counter. What is that all about? And it's not even just a regular box. It's a 10-pack Costco box of Oreo cookies.
Yeah.
Dude, are you kidding?
Oreos are awesome.
Wait, Oreos are awesome? I want to see the nutrition effects on that thing right now. Let me see that right now. Come here, bring it over to me. Christina's getting the box. All right, Pat, he's being very quiet all of a sudden. Hang on a minute. Hang on a second. Hang on. Now, a serving size is 3 cookies. Who eats 3 cookies?
Nobody.
160 calories, 1 gram of protein in 3 cookies, and the carbs are 25 grams of carbs in 3 cookies. What? Just explain yourself. How dare you?
Two of my clients, a husband and wife.
Right.
The gentleman now is down 104 pounds.
Yeah. From what?
He's lost 104 pounds.
Oh, he's down.
He's not down to 100. No.
I'm a little tired right now.
Bad.
I'm a little tired.
He's lost 104. He's a very small guy.
He's a midget.
Yeah, he's the size of my hand.
Tom thumb.
Go ahead.
I let it be known to everybody that I help. My levels of achievement I have is not because I never eat anything bad or not normal. I'm very much normal. I'm so to the point of, I do eat Oreos.
Okay.
And I make that known to everybody I help. Well, my clients happen to take me seriously and bought me this box of Oreos for Christmas. But they also attach this cool little study.
I see the little ad on there.
Yeah, the study shows that Oreos are as addictive as drugs, because they actually turn more neurons on in a rat's brain than drugs do. So they attach that to the box And I asked him, did you think it was going to get me to stop eating?
Like, is it a deterrent?
It's not a deterrent. And clients of mine have asked me, because there was, the box is empty now, 10 packs of Oreos in here. They're like, how could you not want them? They're sitting right there in plain view. I said, it's simple. I have my refrigerator with my good food in it, but yeah, there's no milk in there.
Oh.
So I have to complete the process and dunk them in
that's
milk.
That's like Christina has to have it with milk. I could have them without milk.
The milk's
honestly
at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have my cheat meal on the weekend, and every once a week, my wife and I eat whatever we want, and I would include one sleeve of Oreos. I would not eat the three, the normal serving size. I would eat all 10.
I was going to say, three
and
cookies.
Dunk them and enjoy every bite with no guilt. I don't have diabetes. I don't have any health issues. So this doesn't happen often. This box has been empty since January, and I haven't had an Oreo since. The next time I have one will probably be another one of my clients buying me a box, but I do like them every
that
now and
then. That is hysterical.
So it's a nice, I leave it here for a nice conversation piece, because I am just like everyone else. I'm not special. I'm not different. My goals have just been attached to good values. At the end of the day, what's most important to me is to see people succeed and actually have a higher level of health and well-being that they can then share with their family, with their friends, their loved ones. They're going to be better people in the community if it starts with taking care of themselves first.
Right.
For me, that's what it's been. I took care of myself, and I've been given the gift of being able to give back because I first took care of me. So things were put in my life for a reason because of my accomplishments. And those accomplishments allowed me to run events where I can then raise thousands of dollars to donate to people with cancer, to other foundations, and give back. And when people used to say to me, oh, Pat, what are you doing? It's so self-centered. It's egotistical sport. It's all about you and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it is all about me and my health. It started off that way. And the people who couldn't understand it didn't remain my friends. The people who did admired it from afar, realized they couldn't do it, wasn't for them. I didn't try to convince them to do it.
Sure.
Just respect that I am.
Right.
And it's no different than the gentleman leading the orchestra. He has his back turned to the audience. It's not an act of disrespect. It's just what needs to get done so he could do his job.
There you go.
So I had to turn my back on certain things, whether it be some good Italian home-cooked food, at different events to achieve my goals. But because I did, I was given opportunities then to help others in a much greater, bigger way than myself.
And you definitely have done that. I mean, we speak just for ourselves alone how you've helped us and helped change our thought process when it comes to taking care of the body, as well as some things you've shared with us about this one story about the woman who was diagnosed with cancer and how now, as a result of applying what she's learned through your programs and through your tutelage, she's cancer-free. I mean, it's just awesome stuff like that. I think my favorite story is the guy that said to you, I've done everything I could do, I've done everything there is to do, and I still can't see my abs. And you're like, have you ever seen your abs before? And he's like, no. He goes, well, apparently you haven't done everything yet.
No.
So I love your personality. You're obviously a blessed man, and you have no problem sharing that blessing of knowledge that you've gotten through the course of your life with others. We appreciate you very much. Love working for you. Love working with you. And that's all I got. Anything else you got, Ben?
Well, I think that you also would agree that this is your calling in life, right?
Most definitely. This didn't happen by accident.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, when I had my trucking business, I was a truck driver. I was the person going down the road most people were giving the finger to.
Telling you that they were number one in their life.
Yeah. I was that guy, and I loved what I did, but I was not fulfilled in what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, and it drove me to make the change. And the first change was I wanted to change me, and I realized I wanted to make a career change.
Sure.
And it was through my own need for change personally drove me to acquire more knowledge and then realized, I have a gift to help people, and I love it. And nothing's been more rewarding than my client's success. That's what I live for.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know I told you guys a story just earlier about a woman that I helped, and I always say my mom and dad are smiling down on me for that, because I recognize the gift I have, and I love sharing it. So I don't go to work, because I'm not working. I'm just doing my thing. So I love what I do, and I just hope I can keep doing it for a long time and help more people.
Now, these testimonies, are they on your website?
I do have testimonials on my website, and going to be adding some more from some of the current awesome success stories, okay, many that I have, that's the greatest part of what I get to enjoy, is the people who've been battling or struggling with trying to make change. Mm-hmm. It's not been for lack of their effort. It's just been misguided effort.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wrong information.
I pull it together for them, and then great stuff happens.
That's awesome. Well, that was Pat Greco coming to you.
We could talk about this for days. It's just interesting.
When we start a conversation with Pat, it's pretty much going to be a day. You got to know that going in. Because he's so full of knowledge, and it just gets better and better the more we talk. But that's going to do it for this week of the Godcast. And tune in next week. We have someone else that's going to be talking to you about something else.
Wow, really?
I don't want to paint myself into a corner. We have a very special guest coming up next week as well.
Someone else talking about something else.
Until then, remember this. We love you. God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed. Woo!
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.